At our last gathering at the table, we heard our Lord Jesus pray to his Father for us that he should sanctify us. We saw that we are sanctified when we are separated in our hearts from the contamination that is the world of Satan, with our souls cleansed from the devil's evil works. And thus, we are suitable vessels exclusively dedicated to our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw that in truth, we are now the sons of God. And we also saw the more compelling reason for us to be sanctified than to be vessels for our Lord Christ. And that is, for God to be our Father indeed, it demands that we must be sanctified. In other words, the reality of the fatherhood of God in all his streams is experienced by only his sons and daughters who are sanctified. We concluded our meal by seeing that one of these streams that we experience of the fatherhood of God when we are sanctified is effective prayer. And we were all agreed, as we would suppose, that I could not live like a child of the devil without godly sorrow, not the sorrow of the world. And then in the place of prayer, call God my Father and expect him to hear me and respond. It is written, the Lord knows those who are his. And it is written, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears open to their prayers. Other streams that flow out of the reality of the fatherhood of God for our being sanctified include, 1. You become conscious of the love of your Heavenly Father for you, and consequently you are secured in and by this love. 2. You become a habitation for God indeed. The Father and the Son will come and make their abode with you. 3. You are secured by the presence of God with you and filled with his attendant joy unspeakable, full of glory. Furthermore, God's presence with you also becomes manifest. 4. You are secured by the Almighty God, being your God in all and at all times, and his resultant peace that surpasses all understanding flows like a river in your heart and through your soul. 5. You walk here on the earth in the glorious liberty of the sons of God from Satan's kingdom, and you have dominion over him and all his works. 6. Best of all, you will be accorded the high privilege of being hated and persecuted by Satan through his human puppets. Plainly stated, you will suffer for the sake of the name of our Lord Jesus and his gospel. 7. You are unwaveringly sure of spending eternity with our Lord Christ and of sharing in his throne forever. So we see that being sanctified is a pathway for you and I to experience here on the earth the fullness of the life that is ours in our union with the Son. Today, we would refresh our understanding as to how we are sanctified. We will begin to drink of the three streams flowing into the one river of sanctification. These three streams are, 1. That which our Father did to sanctify us. 2. What our Bridegroom does to sanctify his bride. 3. What is given to you and I to do that we may be sanctified. The first of these three reveals that we are not going to be sanctified, but that we have been sanctified. And the subsequent two reveal how that which has been done is fulfilled in us. Our main dish for the day is the words of our God and Father, written for us in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Simply put, God said He will sanctify us. Subsequently, our Lord Jesus prayed in harmony with His Father's will in John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. In these two brief sentences, our Lord Jesus requested that His Father sanctify us by His truth, which is His word. At a previous gathering at the table, we had seen that truth is the righteous nature of God embodied in His word. Therefore, the essence of what our Lord Jesus asked is that His Father should separate us from the world and make us harmonious with Himself by the birthing of His righteous nature in us. How was God to accomplish birthing His truth in us? In a segment of John chapter 14, verse 6, our Lord Jesus spoke of Himself that He is the truth. The apostle reaffirms this in the concluding portion of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, where he wrote that the truth is in Jesus. And as our Lord Jesus continued with His prayer in John 17, He spoke these words written in verse 19, "And for their sakes I sanctify Myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." He said we are sanctified through the truth, through Him who is the truth. His apostle Paul bore witness that we are sanctified by our Lord Jesus in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. "For both He who sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause He is not ashamed to call them brothers." He restated that we are sanctified by our Lord Jesus. And the apostle further expounds on how God sanctified us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. "But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God brought us into union with His Son and sanctified us through Him." Here is the summary of all that has been said thus far. God sanctified us. God separated us from the world and unto Himself by His righteous nature birthed in us in our union with our Lord Christ the moment we were born again. Going further, we will see more details of how our Father sanctified us. In John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, our Lord Jesus said, "We are born again by the word of God and the Spirit of God." And His apostle will relate this to our sanctification in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied." We were sanctified by the Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul corroborates this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brothers, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The two apostles wrote that we are sanctified by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. The Apostle Paul gives the final detail of how God sanctified us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. So surely, the blood sacrifice of Christ can do much more. Christ offered himself through the eternal Spirit as a perfect sacrifice to God. His blood will make us completely clean from all the evil we have done. It will give us clear consciences so that we can worship the living God. He reaffirms this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose you shall be thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. God sanctified us by the blood of his Son. Now, hear the sum total of all that has been said thus far. God sanctified us. He separated us from the world and made us harmonious with himself the moment we were born of him through his word and his Spirit, and by washing us clean in the blood of his Son. We may now proceed to see how that which God has accomplished is fulfilled in us. Our Lord Jesus spoke these words in John chapter 15, verse 13. No one has greater love than this, that one should lay down his life for his friends. Our Lord Jesus gave himself to Calvary because he loved you and I so. His Apostle John gives us an additional insight into why he died for us in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Our Lord Jesus Christ loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He sanctified us with his blood. Beyond this initial cleansing, the Apostle Paul revealed to us the subsequent process by which the Lamb washes his bride clean in Ephesians chapter 5 from verses 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The Lamb sanctifies his wife. He washes her clean with the word of God. So how does our bridegroom do this in reality, seeing that he is in heaven and we are on the earth? He does it through those he ordained to function as the fivefold ministers. His under-shepherds feed us with understanding, and we are thus washed clean by the word of Christ and made ready, a bride worthy of our glorious King. Amen.